Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, and good evening, everyone, and welcome to Straight Talk. I'm Ted Campos, I'm your co-host, and we are going to have a lively conversation. I always, and I never, never start this show alone. I always have a co-pilot, except tonight's going to be a very special night. I'm flying solo. My co-partner, Blair Nash, is, as we here in New Jersey have snow, Blair is in the Bahamas. He just might call in as a surprise, but right now Blair is in the Bahamas, probably having a party on the beach. So tonight you just get me. You get me all to yourself. And tonight's going to be, a really interesting topic. It's one that, you know, first I want to say thank you to everyone who is listening, and for the callers, I look forward to speaking with each and every one of you. Tonight, I think you're going to find this show to be, enlightening. And I think everyone will walk away with something that they didn't have before. If you'd like to call in and speak live and you have some concerns, questions, even yeah buts and how abouts, and even if you don't like what I'm saying and what the caller's saying, you find it untrue for you and your world, your life, but you can call in at 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. And before I start, I understand that some of the sentiments of our listeners have been that this show is very one-sided. We only focused on men. And this show really is for men, and it's made by men. Blair and I came together. Blair has written a few books on relationships. And I've spent more than a decade and a half advising and coaching organizations and really in developing more effective relationships. And ultimately, how do you create a breakthrough in your organization's performance, which always requires a change in corporate culture? So one of the things that Blair and I are looking at are, what are the things in our culture as a nation that could transform and be in the best interest of everyone? For decades, we've listened to women and the concerns women have had to men, and I think men have done a really good job of listening to women, and there have been quite a few changes in the United States and actually around the world. And yes, the perspectives here, it's quite new. This is from a man's point of view, and that's what we've been doing on this show on Straight Talk. We're having a very straight conversation. We love when the men call in, because the ladies really do want to hear what you have to say. So, gentlemen, I really encourage you to call in tonight. And for the ladies who don't like what they hear, tell us. That's how we're going to make this all happen, by men and women coming together. This is what you call a virtual table, and it's the table where men and women come together to speak, but it's probably one of the only or the few tables where the table was built for men, and we invite women to come to the table to speak with us and hear our perspective. So, yes, this is very much a man's perspective, and how do you have a relationship, at least a heterosexual relationship, if you're not hearing the man's perspective? And last week, I think, was the week we spoke about, do men listen to women? And maybe, you know, another question is, do women really listen to men? And here we are, men talking about the things that we want, that we like, we don't like. And if the ladies are saying this is only a man's point of view, absolutely it is. Because if you're in a heterosexual relationship, it takes the man and woman's point of view or perspective or the things they both like and don't like that come together. So we've built something where you can actually do that. So the other thing is, I've also heard people say, well, things won't be fixed until people are healed. And I'm going to say something, and some of you may find it controversial because our society hasn't really said this, but no one's going to heal you, not even yourself. And to think someone's going to heal you implies that something's wrong with you. You're broken, and no one is broken, like absolutely no one. Perhaps that's one thing we should take out of our society is the idea that people are broken, they have problems, they have issues, there's something wrong with them. There really isn't. A woman has a child. You hear women say, my child is perfect. He or she has fingers and toes in them, eyes and nose. We're born perfect. We learn everything from adults. So no one has problems. No one has issues. No one has anything wrong. We all can learn and develop. So no one's going to heal you because nothing's wrong with you. The most effective way to deal with some of the challenges you have in your mind is actually to take them on, to actually deal with them. If you want to do that with someone, it's great, probably better. But I'll tell you, it's much better to actually deal with the things that you think are sabotaging your life. So, that said, we're going to talk about, I won't say whether it sabotages people or not, but tonight we're going to ask a question. Should men pay for dates? 50 years ago, that would have been a ridiculous question. In the 21st century, where we've had shows where we talked about the benefits of dating a career woman, a professional woman. In this day and age, since women have gotten very much what they wanted, access to more high-paying jobs, so women have greater income. In some cases, women make more than men. Should men be paying for dates? So I want to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you think about this topic. Should men pay for dates? Call in at 323-642-1387. And I want to know, should men pay for dates? Should women pay for dates? Is there something else we should be thinking about when it comes to dating? Have we even forgotten what dating is about? If you really look at a date really is an interview. Unless this is just about sex, which that's fine. If it's about sex, then hey, we both understand that. We're going out, we're going to have a good time, we're going to have sex. Except if you're really dating and you're looking for someone to take you seriously, are we doing it right? People seem to be more challenged and bothered by dating than ever. And people don't seem to be getting what they want from dating. So we have a few callers on the line. We're going to get to you. And I'd like to know what you think of the question here. Should men pay for dates? Take one call here. You have a 917 area code. Calling from New York. 917, you're live. You have a 917. I want to listen.
Hello?
Yes, 917. Hello. You're live and on the air.
Hi, this is Judith from New York City.
Hi, New Judith. York. How are you?
Fantastic.
How you doing? Good.
Good.
So tell me, what do you think of our topic? And, you know, we wrote a few things in addition to why men should pay for dates, but what do you think?
I think men should pay for dates, the initial date, the first date. I think men should pay for dates.
Okay.
Yes, they definitely should.
So let me ask you, why shouldn't women pay for dates?
Well, the first date, when you, it's not that women shouldn't pay for dates, but I think the initial date, because we are in this culture and the norm is for the man to pay for the date. Now, after the first date, then I think that you can go Dutch treat or the woman can pay for the man. It depends on the situation. But I think initially, like the very first date, yes, the man should pay for the date. And if the date, if it is an expensive place, if the guy can afford it, yes. If he can't, then he can suggest somewhere else. He can suggest another place, another restaurant.
So, all right, let me ask a question then. So if we were having this conversation 50 years ago, what that would get us 1969, most likely the woman, if she was between, let's say, 18 and 25, most likely she would be living at home.
Yeah.
She probably didn't have the greatest paying job. And if she went out on a date with a guy, you kind of understood, you know, economically the man had a stronger financial hand, stronger economics on his side. That's not always the case now. So why hasn't dating changed? Why haven't women fought for equal right to pay for dates, just like they want equal access to money? What I don't understand, why is there sort of a barrier? Let me just say this, that on one of our shows, we talked about the benefit of dating a professional woman, and the women said, well, the benefit is the woman has her own money. And then when you asked the woman if she would pay for the first date, all of a sudden she went to this, from this modern woman who had her own money to, it, well, I'm old-fashioned when it comes to that. So help me out as a guy.
I think what the woman is looking for is that there's some kind of care or some kind of it's about I think for some women it's about that the guy is playing his role, and there's some care with that role, and then for some other women, that's the expectation. That's the expectation because they're in the society where they're not growing up in the 1960s or 70s or 80s. They're coming of age in the 1990s, and that's all they know. That's all they see in movies, and that's all they see in their environment is that there's that expectation.
So then, why haven't women fought for that? I mean, they want social equality. That would be clearly one of our social constructs. Women have wanted to break through. Why hasn't that been like a glass ceiling? Like, I'm going to break through that glass ceiling, and on that first date, damn it, I'm pulling out my credit card.
Because it doesn't seem... It seems like that's the man's role. The man's role is to pay for the first date. And even though the woman might have the money, and they, but it's just the idea of it's just the idea of the man playing his role and the woman playing. So everyone has like a role, a expected role to play, and it's kind of like it can be very enjoyable to play that role, and some men might get. Some men might be might get offended. Some men might say, "Oh no! I will take care of it." Even if the woman says, "Yes, I'll pay for it," you know, it's like going against their manhood. Like them being a man is like, "I'm going to take care of it." Hello. Hello? Hello? No? It's just I lost the phone call. Wait. Okay, I'll call back.
Wow. Looks like technology worked against me, everyone. I apologize for that. My phone just, the call was dropped. And I know, Judith, you were on the line with me, and you were telling me something about men's roles. Let's see if we can bring you back.
Okay.
Is that you, Judith?
Okay. Yes, it's
Sorry
me.
About that. And we had some other callers on the line. Please, you can call back in. Just technology. I don't know, maybe a meteor went over my house. I have no idea what happened. That never happened on a show. But for those who want to call in, 323-642-1387. So, Judith, you were saying this is a man's role. And what was that?
And men might get offended. They might get offended that you want to pay. They want to be the person to pay for the meal or pay for the theater ticket. And they might get offended by it. They might insist that they pay.
So let me ask you. So did no woman seem to be concerned that men were offended when women said, "We want these high-paying jobs," which actually displaced men? No woman seemed to care about that. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is a romantic dinner, and the difference is a romantic dinner versus a job.
Let's see if we can bring someone else. Hold on one second, Judith. I have a 914 number. 914, you're live and on the air.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Okay. Who's calling?
Yeah, my name is Monty. How are you?
Hey, Monty. Tell everyone where you're calling from.
I'm calling from New York City.
Okay. So Judith is saying this is just a man's role. The 21st century woman becomes old-fashioned when it comes, especially to the first date. And a man could be offended if a woman wants to pay. So what are your thoughts on that, Monty?
Okay, well, I should start off by saying I've done very well in my life. I'm actually attracted to a smart, intelligent woman and look for that as some excitement than to look at the old-fashioned standard from the past. What I'll first start off by saying that what you should have had here was some qualifiers, because most of us all today are online dating at first. So the first date should be placed in a safe spot than just some big romantic dinner for anybody to expense, but to find a happy spot where we could learn about each other without it having to be a major investment for anyone, is my feelings. Because unfortunately, with photos and people saying who they are and their age
right.
throws right. things way out of whack, because I could tell you, being a fit guy at 6'2", 183 pounds, and someone may say, if they met me, oh, gosh, he was accurate for once, gosh. But when I'm
right.
meeting certain women who say that they're at a height and weight or looks and whatever, age
right.
appropriate, when you meet them, there's a lot of falseness probably on both sides. So let's simplify the process and find a way to meet each other better, in a better spot that's not so expensive for anybody, and
right,
you know,
right.
that would be more
well,
accurate. So I would love to
you're actually slightly ahead of where I wanted to go with this.
Do
you think of? No, that's perfect. I'll use that to take it to the next step. But what do you think of what Judith said? Some men may be offended if a woman wants to pay for the meal.
I'm not offended if a woman wants to pay, but I don't look to take advantage of anyone. I think it's
right.
important we learn about each other on the first date to see where we are. We may have multiple responsibilities. We may have been through a divorce. We may have children.
Right.
She may have
right.
the same. There's no ego involved, because if I have to show her all that, then it's not about me. It's about my status, and especially in New York City.
Of course. All right. So do you think men should pay for dates in general, all dates?
I don't think. I mean, you know, I think we should, of course, we should pay for dates. But, you know, I don't think that it needs to be lopsided to make believe we're somebody we're not, so that you need to learn so much more about someone. I personally would prefer to meet somebody which, you know, it's kind of interesting. You could go on several dates and have coffee, right? And,
right.
you know, does that sound so cheap? But is there some other medium vehicle where it doesn't have to become so expensive? And then we could decide what our future dates after qualifying each other.
All right, so let's hold that thought. Let me see if I can bring someone else on. And so we have a
Please.
Few callers. So Judith and Monty, hold right there. I want to bring someone else. I'm going to try 404
okay.
area code. Let's see if we're going to bring this in. 404
Hey, what's going
area
on?
Code. Four. All right, who's calling and where are you calling from?
This is Carell from Atlanta. What's going on, y'all?
Hey, Carell, what's going on? All right. So now we've got a married man on the line here. What do you think of the topic? Should men pay for dates?
Absolutely. I think men should pay for dates. I know I can speak for myself. I can speak for what
uh-huh.
my father taught me, and I can speak for what I would definitely teach my future son. And I can tell you what I would tell my mentees. So, you know, paying for date is an investment. And it's not the money that you spend. It's the time that you are going to either gain a return or lose on your investment in that individual.
Okay.
So if a person
okay.
is if a person is the caliber of woman that is a caliber of woman that can add value to your life, then I don't think that's a bad investment.
So, Carell, you just said something important. And Monty, now I'm gonna sort of piggyback on where Monty was going, you know, with online dating and you don't really know. You said, will this person add value? If we were having this conversation 50 years ago, most likely the whole spending money and dating wasn't anywhere near where it is now. And if we go back far enough, you probably go back to a time where the guy just met with the woman on her front porch and her father was in the house. You were not taking her anywhere. There was no sex happening. There was no exciting adventure to do. You really got to know one another. and maybe this is the thing, you know, we criticize teenagers. I don't know how teenagers do it now with texting and all that, but there was a time you only had a landline, and if you were a teenager, you met this girl, and you all spent hours talking on the phone. You actually got to know one another. And it seems now that dating has gone to how much are you going to spend, how exciting is going to be the outing going to be, did you plan properly? And when you do all these activities, you're actually not getting to know the person. You're having a good time. It seems like you all click and you have chemistry. You get married, and now you know you're going to buy a house, you're going to have children. So all those expensive outings become obsolete. And then you find out you don't even like one another. So I'm questioning, should men be paying for these exciting outings, or should we be doing more like what Monty was saying? Have a cup of coffee. Let me find out. See, Carell, how do you know, and maybe this is where a lot of guys get stuck. I'm asking you, Carell, how do you know if this woman can bring value to you? You're just
meeting
her.
Well, I know myself. I know myself. And first of all, if I'm just meeting you, we ain't going on a date. I'm going to vet you. I'm going to screen you. I'm going to interview you. I'm going to interrogate you.
Exactly.
I'm going to figure out if that person is worth my money and my time. And the thing that's most important to me and has always been to me was my time. I'm not a time waster.
Right.
The good thing about today versus yesteryears is we do have social media. We do have, 6 degrees of separation right at our fingertips these days, in our back pocket, you know, on our hip. And the ignorant thing would be if you are a man and you're not utilizing those tools to get to know this individual, and actually while you're talking to this individual before you spend your time and money, what this woman is saying is matching up with what she has done or what she is doing. You understand, when I go out on a date with a woman, I know who I am, and I know who I am, whose I am, and I know what my intent is. With that being said, I have to mature at some point as a man and in my manhood that going out for coffee just ain't going to work for me. That's not even exciting for me. And if I can't afford to take this woman to a nice restaurant and we sit down and we talk or go to a jazz and we vibe, like that, then I shouldn't be going out on dates. I might need to be, investing in something that's going to bring some more money in so I can actually put my best foot forward and keep my best foot forward with this person. If it comes out that, and it's confirmed that she's someone that can add value to my life.
So how do you do that, Carell? I'm asking you. So you're just getting to know a woman. And do you have some sort of budget constraints that you use to say, you know, until I fully vet her, and her social media, she's not out there half naked taking pictures and posting them. She's a professional woman. But how do you know when it's time to go to actually spend a few bucks on a date?
Okay, well, you know, I'm an intelligence expert by trade and education. So,
right.
You know, and this goes both ways. With that being said, when I'm talking to a person, I can talk to people, and I talk my wife about this. I'm sitting at a bar or whatever. I'm self-interrogating. I'm getting to learn everything I need to learn or know about those individuals. And with that, you know, with that as a baseline for what I'm about to say, it's when I'm about to date a woman, it's not necessarily what I'm getting out of it. And during the courtship or the process of initiating this courtship, I really want to show this woman a good time. But if a woman doesn't have a passport, don't know the difference between a well done steak and a medium rare steak, then it would probably be intimidating to take a bunch of money and take her to doggone Chops Steaks and Lobster House here in Atlanta, you know. So if I can't get to know this person prior to me making up in my mind that this person is someone that I want to go invest that time and money in, then again, it goes back to me. I need to go back to understand who I am, whose I am, and what I want and what I need in my life with regards to dating this woman. Again, it's an investment for me, boss. It's not about You know, it's not about me counting pennies. It's an investment.
I got it. So wait, let one second. We have a woman on the line. Judith, are you still there? Maybe you've got us on mute.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. All right. So how do you feel about words like I'm going to gather intelligence, I'm interviewing you, I'm interrogating? How does that occur for you to hear that you're going on a date with a guy who's going to do that? Does that make you feel comfortable?
Well, the guy might not use those words directly, but I think both men and women kind of, they do that. You know, when you go out on a date, you're kind of like finding out about that person and learning more about that person. But, you know, I don't think he meant, you know, he's going to actually use those words and say that, oh, well, you know, on this date I'm going to really interrogate you and things like that. But he might be just doing it subtly.
It's going to be more charming.
And in a charming way, and that's
right.
Okay. And I also agree with the other person what he said about you know, like really finding out about the person, and if your budget isn't about, you know, you can't afford to go to the best restaurant in town, but somewhere kind of comfortable for both of you, then that's fine too. But some women would agree to that, and some women are like, no, it's the best restaurant for me on the first date, second date, third date, fifth grade. And so you have, depending on who you're dealing with, some women will agree to go to some place. If they're really interested in you, they'll go to a restaurant that is not expensive. And that, but you do have women that that's what they want. So you,
what
as
do you mean
a man,
that's what they want?
They want to go to the best restaurant. They want to go to the, you know, that's their agenda. So So that's what they want. So depending on you, you know, I grew up with brothers, and they're really careful about who they go out with. They don't go out with women that are just going to just take them for everything that they got, and they're not really interested in them as a person. So you know, with social media, meeting up with someone that you meet online, you know, some women might exaggerate how they look, and when you meet them, the men too. And so, you know, that's another thing that that you're working with.
Okay. Is that you, Monty? Did you have something you wanted to say or add?
I would like to chime in on that because, you see, first of all, let's take it back 10 years. How many of us all would be in a situation where you've just broken up or you're single or just whatever's going on, and a good friend of yours says, oh, I've got an individual for you and whatever, and you could count on your fingers on knowing how those things work out for you, nice personality or what may have you. Social media is like an advertisement for false advertisement, as far as I'm concerned. Everyone is posting their best look forward. I'd like to simplify it and find simpler ways to meet, be cordial, be polite, and learn with the best interest going forward, like my other male friend here that stated what he's looking for. Okay. But, you know, you could run out of money unless you're at the top, for sure, in Manhattan on dates. There are certain women out there that will go out Monday through Thursday on dates at all the fine restaurants, and it's part of their circuit. And that's unfortunate for those men that allow that to happen. I would try to be in more of a selective interview, talk on the phone, process first. It's just that actual first date try to keep it mutual, keep it limited to 15 minutes or 30 if you can make it work. And
Monty, you're saying keep the first date to 15 minutes, like maximum?
No, I mean, like, if you're, it depends on the scheduling, so much time invested. Because of the falsehoods that men and women both encounter, which you feel like the air comes out of the balloon if you do mostly on online dating.
Got it. It
gives a polite out for each of the individuals to be on their way if you don't have a long date plan. Because to think that you're planning for, because you had a nice conversation over the phone, and then you're going out for an hour and a half dinner, is could be tough for the man or the woman. So there you go.
Okay. Let's see if we can bring one more person on this call. I'm looking at a 570 area code. You're live and on the air. 570. Or you have us on mute, or you just want to listen in? Okay. You just want to listen. That's cool. Okay. So it seems like everyone is comfortable, men and women, with the idea that dating is an interview process. I mean, like, if you want a job in your career, you know you'll be interviewed, and they'll hire the best candidate. And, Carell, you were saying part of putting your best foot forward is showing that you have the financial wherewithal to take care of this woman, to not just entertain, what you have the economics on your side to be able to make things happen and be able to go places and rub elbows with the right people. Am I putting that in the proper light for you?
No, I think what we did was put the horse before the carrot. Putting my best foot forward for me is understanding who I'm dealing with before I go out there and spend my time and resources in investing in that individual.
Okay. So
I met women that don't. What's that? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You met women that don't. Keep going.
I've dated women that, you know, wasn't about that life. You know, they were very much because it intimidated them, you know, going out, rubbing elbows and all that, best foot forward with the finance. So it would be stupid of me to take that person, let's say, to the Commerce Club down here in Atlanta, where, you know, you have that's a business club here in Atlanta, you know, and you have businessmen,
right?
They coming up talking to you, and hey, so what do you do for a living and all this, and that might intimidate that person. I've dated women that, man, I've dated Joe Blow over here that didn't, you know, had his head up his ass, for lack of a better word, and didn't know how to treat a woman, and I deserve better. I better myself, so I'm looking for a man who is better for me. And, you know, that type of woman, I was able to go somewhere really nice and, you know, have a good time. I think also putting my best foot forward is, what is my intent for this woman? What is my intent in dating? Is it my intent to go out and have a good time and throw a few back? Is it my intent to have a booty call? Or is it my intent to build to initiate something, the research, that will lead into something that's more mutually beneficial and long-term and solid? All of that is called mental foreplay for the men. You know, got to mental foreplay things and, you know, prep the battlefield for you before I get out there and start, you know, throwing away resources and my time. That's just how I always been.
So this idea, what I was saying before, is spending some time on the phone. Like, teenagers have done that well. You know, I mean, they may have some restrictions because they can't just go see this girl anytime, so they use the telephone. They talk, and now they may text more or other social media aspects of communicating. And as a teenager, you may not have this money to spend on a girl. So you're just really investing in getting to know her. That's really kind of my concern, is that perhaps men sort of jump into wanting to entertain, and women have grown to expect that as a man's obligation, that you have to entertain me. Almost like the reason behind dating has been put in second place. So instead of us getting to know one another, there seems, and Monty, you were saying there are women who want to go out 5 days a week and they may date someone different every day of the week. This is entertainment as opposed to dating. And that, so maybe there are some guys who don't know how to really qualify a woman for that, and they get sort of caught up in that gerbil wheel of going through woman after woman, and she's just looking for entertainment. And you know what, if this is just for sex,
if that's the case, then whose fault is that? That means that guy doesn't know a woman. I mean, again, I mean, at a certain age, we have to stop blaming, false expectations. Look, when you have false expectations, the common ground between false expectations and reality is disappointment. And the first thing we do as men, some of my friends, you know, I got some solid guys. But if you put money first, you're going to run into women that are attracted by money.
Right.
You know, so, and then, you know, after you've spent 6 months of your time and your money on this person, now you're upset because that relationship didn't quite pan out. Well, the false expectation was, I'm the breadwinner, I'm the man and all this good stuff, and I can fulfill your every need and want. And that's what I've seen guys present to the woman. And someone was like, okay, I'll take it. But that's all I really want from you. I don't need anything else. Now we're blaming them.
Exactly.
No, we got to go back, recalibrate. We got to go back to the locker room, coach. I'm tired of losing Atlanta Falcons. We got to get us a new quarterback up in the brain, all right? So if it's your intent to go out there and be a baller, that's your reality, then understand that the common ground between your expectation and reality is you're going to get women who only want to date ballers. And when you're not on the top, or they think there's somebody that got bigger balls than you, where you think those women are going to go?
Right, exactly. So let me see if I can bring another person in on this call. Let's see. Try 570. 570, you're live and on the air. 570.
Yeah, this is Brother Enrique. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Hey, Enrique, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. And yourself?
Good, pretty well. Tell everyone where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania?
Right now. Uh-huh.
Okay, perfect. All right, so what are your thoughts on this conversation?
Well, my thoughts is I've been listening to everybody's approach, and one of the things that I wanted to add, I like, you know, everybody's input, but when it comes to dating, like, I've heard how women have referred to themselves and how the men have referred to women according to how they want to date. And what I think is missing in this is that dating it should be, for me, it may not apply to everybody else, but it should be a means to strictly get to know that person. And women don't want to be relegated to traditional roles, so they should look for a traditional form of dating. And men who are embracing women who are no longer being subject to traditional roles should have unconventional ways of getting to know somebody. And it shouldn't be regimentized. You know, it shouldn't be put into a way where this is how it's supposed to be done and this is what it is. most of it sounds like somebody who is on a prowl or some type of predatory approach, and the woman is the prey and the man is the predator. You know what I'm saying? And that, to me, is not quite what dating means for me.
All right, go ahead, Mama. So give us an example. What are you saying? What's a non-conventional way where it's not like the predator and the prey?
Okay, a non-conventional way would be to just introduce yourself into, like this is a concept. This might help you get an idea. If I can't walk to around the corner to the store with a woman and enjoy her company, I don't see myself taking her on a cruise. I'm not going to try to show her a good time if I can't enjoy the simple things with her. So a date to me is basically like a formal introduction from both people. You know, one person is the, you know, one person is, who doesn't matter which one it is, the initiator. Somebody is interested. Person is accepting that interest. Or it could be two mutual people interested in each other, which is what I really, the ideal situation.
Well, Enrique, we're talking about, like, you've met one another, and now the man is going to take you out. And I think everyone was saying here is, Carell especially said, pre-qualify the person before you take them anywhere.
Okay.
Even if you're going to take them to the park. But so once you've gotten to know this woman, should a guy be paying for the date?
Well, I think, you know, in formal chivalry, yeah, I think so. But listen to the language, right? You're saying you should take somebody. So it's almost like I take my child somewhere. You know, if I'm
right,
meeting somebody on a mutual playing field with me, we are engaging. We are both going out together. I'm not taking you nowhere. She's not taking me nowhere. It's two consenting adults with rational
right
minds, you know what I'm saying, and we are meeting on an equal playing field. So if it's not going to be that case, then it is going to be, you know, by default, like a predatory kind of prey thing. It's like, well, you know, am I the game and you're the gamer? You know what I'm saying? And that kind of attitude comes, it's like an underlying current. And then you lose the friendship. You lose the friendship. You lose the mutual respect for one of that even playing field that this whole thing has always been about. It's about, you know, men and women having an equal respect and an equal approach to one another. And I think that's what makes for a real, true, long-term relationship. And that makes for respect for both people. If
so
I'm, like, taking you out and I'm doing everything for you, it's automatically an expectation. That takes the evenness out of it.
Okay, but help me understand this. So, and Judith, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. All right. So, Judith, as a woman, and I know you can't represent all, but we've had other women on the show. On the first date, do you expect the guy to pay?
Yes.
Okay. So, Enrique, that makes it not a level playing field right there.
Exactly. But and what all I'm saying is, if you're doing that, if you're going into an old paradigm way of approach, then you're automatically shifting from this modern setting to an older paradigm of thinking.
Which then it becomes, right, keep going.
Then you lose this, you know, we talk about an even playing field and two people having a mutual respect or looking at each other as, you know, eye to eye. You go from that to now it's almost like, you know, like you're the food and I'm preparing you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I'm just, and I mean, that's not a good way of saying it. But it goes from like the hunter and the hunted, you know, and however your hunting style is like, do you catch
correct
that game or do you don't catch it?
So Carell and Monty, do you have any thoughts about that?
I'll let Carell.
Yeah,
go
I don't
first
agree with that. I don't agree with that.
Right. What do you say?
You know, I think what some of us you know, conservative, old school guys got to get out of the mantra of thinking, you know, that life was better back in the 50s, 60s, and all that good stuff where there was only the telephone and whatnot. That's one. Then another thing we have to understand that traditional values and roles aren't necessarily a bad thing. If that's what, again, are you out dating for yourself or are you out dating for the other person? If you start off putting yourself first, you're never going to get someone who puts you first. That's just a selfish mentality, in my opinion. If I am invited out on a date by a woman, or if I invite a woman out on a date, I've been taught that a man pays. That payment, however, or where we go, like I've already said, is predicated on what I've already figured out or come to understand about this woman. Now it's up to her to confirm or deny that. In this world today with social media, man, you can find out information technology, internet, you can find out anything you want about anybody. It's just up to you to do you have the intellect, the mental capacity to do that, you know? Is it worth your time? I'm not taking a girl on a walk around the corner for nothing. And I'm not sitting at a coffee shop and calling it a date. I will figure out if we're going to go on a date, we're going to go party. We're going to go have a good time. We're going to go eat good. We're going to go to some nice jazz music or whatever. With that being said, if I can't afford it or I'm a teenager, then dating shouldn't even be in your book. Dating shouldn't even be in your vocabulary because you need to be working on yourself and preparing yourself for when you meet your missus, right, that you can show her what it's all about for you to be a man and for her to be a woman. The playing field between my wife and myself will never be equal. I'm the head of the household. That means that I am responsible for what happens and what fails to happen on my watch. That doesn't make my wife lesser than me. That just simply means we have different roles. So if I start off with we're equal, then when that woman starts saying some stuff like that and we don't agree and blah, 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 or if, you know, she's out showing you up because we're equal, then you shouldn't get mad. I never started off that way. I don't agree with it. And I just, you know, I just don't agree with it.
Hey, Carell, what does your wife do? Carell,
I'd like
Carell,
to qualify
what does your wife do for a living? Well, wait, Carell, what
she's
does your wife do for a
she's
living?
She's an orthopedic surgeon.
Okay, so she's you can take her anywhere and she'll understand. It won't be intimidating and over her head. She's a professional, and orthopedic surgeons make a really good income.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
But that started
right.
With her mother and father. My wife was born in England, all right, to English parents, to Jamaican grandparents. So her mother and father, who are educators, traveled their daughters from their daughters from the time they were born. You know, so, you know, when I meet a woman like that and a quality, now look, when I met my wife, she was a resident, working 90 hours a week. The damn secretary made more money than her. You understand what I'm saying? I collect rent making more money in 2 months than she makes. Damn, working 6 months for my rental properties. But that woman was a cultured, quality woman who was physically, financially, emotionally, you know, mentally and spiritually fit. Why in the hell would I take a woman like that, invite her out on a date, and she has to pay? I already knew what she was about. I didn't quite know the doctor crap and all that, but I knew if somebody is still in training, as a man who spent several years in training in the military and in corporate America and in contracting, at times I didn't have the money. I didn't have the wherewithal to be able to do the things that I was able to do when I met my wife. It goes back to what I said initially. If you take your time to transition fully from boyhood into manhood, when you meet a woman who's fully transitioned from girlhood into womanhood, there should be no problems when y'all have a coming to Jesus and, you know, that's what I want to do. That's I'm going to put my best foot forward because that's the way I live my life with this woman. The problem is we done that with so many of these women, and we done wasted so much time and so much money to the point now we looking at every other woman we meet to come to the table. You got to do what I do. You got to put up. You got to go Dutch and all that. And it destroys the fabric and the nucleus of what it is to be a man and a woman in a relationship, or a man and a woman in a marriage. And that's what we – and I only hear that crap coming from black people, black American people. I live in seven different countries. I only hear that from us and our community.
Hello?
I'm here.
Who's that?
This is Enrique.
Is that Enrique?
Yes, sir.
You're still with
me. I want to say something real quick because I don't want you to I hope I'm not sending the wrong message, because I'm a strong believer in being a man in a relationship, right? And I do agree with if you're going to be in that role, but I do prefer to meet somebody on an even playing field, which means that they say, you know, I'm an honest believer that you should be friends with the woman. You should develop a friendship with the woman, and in that respect, she's not the game. She's not something you're preying on. She's somebody you are getting to know. And then, you know, like I give you an example. Like, I've had situations that have been, to me, have been fair. You know, I went out with a woman. We were friends. We wasn't trying to date each other. We just enjoyed each other's company. You know, sometimes I would get the meal, and I wasn't trying to get her. We were just being friends. You know, just like if I'm with my dude, you know, we chilling out. And we had general conversation. You know, I was able to, you know, get who she is, and I enjoyed her company. After that, then it went to, I'm dating you. Let's, you know, can I take you out? Can I get to know you on another level? Initially, if I'm interested in a woman, I want to see if we can establish a friendship first. Now, it may not be the way other men approach it, and I'm not saying that if both people agree to a certain way of dating, that's not correct. I'm just saying, like, in these times that we live in right now, I think the roles get switched up a lot. Like, one minute it's, you know, it's the woman wants to be treated like a woman in an old conventional way, and then, you know, in other aspects of the relationship, that doesn't apply. And because it's so shifty, my thing would be to find out who you're working with. What is their template? You know, what operating system are they using? You know what I'm saying? Find out who it is. Get to know that person on that level. And then if it, you know, when it comes to being a man and, you know, being a woman and that's established, then you go about it that way. That's all I'm saying. So, and I think that has to be on an even playing field.
Okay. So let me see if we can get another woman on the call. We only have one woman here. So let's see if we can. I want to bring in another person. 347 area code. You're live and on the air. Are you there? 347 area code. Can you hear us, or are you just listening? I guess you're just listening.
Hello?
347? Yeah, 347 area.
Yes.
Code?
Yes, 347. Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
This is Tina Marie.
What's your name? Yeah. Hey, Tina. Where are you calling from?
I am currently in Atlanta, Georgia right now.
Okay. All right. So, should men pay for dates? I assume you've been listening to quite a bit here. What are your thoughts on this conversation?
I agree with Enrique and Karan, I believe
Carell,
his name is.
Carell.
I'm sorry. Carell. And the only other lady on the line. I believe, first, from my opinion, through my experience, I believe we both, that first initial meeting, if you're going to do it as our verbiage says, the old school way or the old fashioned way in meeting someone face to face, versus online dating. I don't believe you can date online, period. You can't really get to know the person in that manner. You can know their likes and dislikes, but you're truly not communicating with the other person. I believe that first initial date, strongly agree with Enrique. If you can't just do a simple thing of going to the corner store or walking to the park And you're going to know if you can get along with that person or not to further move on to going to the movies, to going to a play, to going to a restaurant.
Okay.
You know, I believe both at parties at that point at least should, okay, let's go Dutch. Let's split this. And you're only going to know,
really?
Just like Karan had said, his wife is an orthopedic surgeon. He was in the military prior. You're going to know each
right.
other's financial situation. And as part of dating, you should be friends first. So
okay.
you can have a firm foundation.
Wait, let me, Monty, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Can you really get to know someone with online dating?
Well, that's just it. She hit a great nail on the head. And I want to back up here, though, to let you guys all know that, sure, my dad instilled the great ways of being the provider, the winner, the financial guy, and have done all that. But the second time around from, you know, being a divorced guy and getting married, I mean, after being married, your opportunities are slim to none. To find people just in the neighborhood that you, when you have mostly the vehicle of online dating, there is less qualifiers. So I don't think there's one person wrong, you know, that's on this call. It's all the same thing. It's just, you know, online dating is also overrated. So with that being said, you know, maybe the better enticement would be more social measures, that they would have a general place for everyone to meet. So I could find that right woman, and believe me, that right woman comes along. There's no limit in my pocket that I'm not willing to spend to get to know her. But yet, you know, it's qualifying each other, yes, and, you know, who's complementing my life versus complicating. So that does take a little bit of time. I don't think it has to be overly wow. And I think what Enrique said about you know, getting to become friends is quite clear that we need that in common. So I thank you guys for inviting me in on the conversation.
Yeah, I'm thankful to be a part
you.
Of it as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
am I.
Tina Marie, did
yes,
you
sir?
Have anything you wanted to add to that? Or I got the sense you were not complete, but I just wanted to get I wanted to hear what Monty had to say. You brought up online dating.
No, that's wonderful. I mean, I guess the only thing that I have to be said is, just like Enrique and everyone on the call has said, our verbiage has to change. You know, we're now 2019 and you know, the predator and the prey, and I think our verbiage has to change and be treated as human beings. You know, and yes, the man is looked at as the protector and provider. That's what he, you know, that's the way it's been for centuries. But also, with that being said, and me as a professional woman, you should also, you know, be equal. But what is equal to you is not what's equal to me. And we have
right,
to find
right.
that common ground.
Exactly.
Especially
well, how
in a relationship.
Tina Marie, if a guy expected you to pay for the first date, if it's simple dinner, how would you feel about the guy if he expected that?
I wouldn't. I mean, I would want to take in his, you know, his financial situation. You know, if you're studying to, you know, in your chosen field or your, you know, any other kind of, you know, your chosen field, and you're studying, I know that takes a lot of money and time, then I wouldn't have
right.
a problem. The same way I hope, if, you know, we go on a second or third date, he wouldn't mind paying for that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
I don't want to cut her wisdom like that, but I want to just to chime in before I forget. First of all, hi, Tina Marie, because I do, you know, I do
hi.
Know you. And
Enrique,
the other thing,
Harlem.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Yes, we
so,
have to.
So,
I am so sorry, Ted.
How cool.
But we have to talk offline, Enrique.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. The other thing is, like, well, she just made a point. Like, when you're friends with somebody, they know you enough to know your situation. Where, like, she was saying, like, if a guy that she knew was going to, you know, school, could be med school, whatever, law school, whatever it is, and they're friends, her buying him, you know, the paying for the dinner on the first date is not a demotion of who he is. It's a friendship act. And that makes for genuine bonding. From, you know, like, if I knew somebody was, like, a woman cared for me enough to consider my situation, she knew my dynamics, and she was willing to do that, that to me would mean more than I go out and spend a whole bunch of money or spend money just because it's a principle and we establish a good time or whatever because it's a traditional, you know, old template of how things should be done. And she did that for me. Of course, my next initial time would be to reciprocate that kind of how much that meant to me. So to all I'm saying is I do believe that a man should be a man in the sense that, you know, we are the protectors and providers, you know, ultimately. But if somebody is working with you, if somebody is showing you friendship, if you're dating somebody and they didn't act like that, that would be something that would be so much more meaningful to me. That would make the date a date. That would make her something special. You know what I'm saying? It would change my approach towards that person because she's not so caught in this regimentation that it has to be done that old kind of fashion way. You know,
right,
that's all I'm saying about it.
So I want to ask Judith, Monty, and Carell. The three of you have experienced matrimony. With your spouse, your significant other, was friendship sort of a prerequisite before you started down the path of an intimate relationship? Carell, Monty, Judith?
All right, sir. Well, this is Carell. So I met my wife because my business mentor, Dr. McCrimmon, told me to meet this young lady. Friend her on Facebook. Now, roger that, sir. I did that.
right now.
So from July.
Okay.
From June of 2013 until August of 2013, it was a damn interrogation session. You know? And just so happened.
Back that up. From when? From July to what?
From June of 2013 to August of 2013.
So it was
a Facebook interrogation session.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook, telephone, you know, probably around end of July, then we start calling and talking on the phone. Yeah, it was an interrogation session, you know. So when people say, oh, the social media and all that, listen, the best way not to be placed in a box is not to put yourself in a box, all right? I just returned back from my eighth tour overseas as a senior intelligence expert for the Department of Defense in contract. So I went from working 12 to 18 hours a day. I just closed on my 15th house that I own outright, and I got a pocket full of money, and damn it, I've been overseas watching people having a good time on Facebook and MySpace and all that. I'm about to come home and live my life. I'm 34 years old. I'll never work for another person again. I'm about to run my company, and I am about to live my life. Who the hell is this girl interrogating me? Don't you know that's what I do for a living? Now, let me tell you something. I told my mentor, I said, hey, he asked me, he said to me, he said, young captain, I said, sir, he said, how's it going with you and the young doctor? I said, well, sir, I told I wasn't interested. He said, yeah, you're going to do as you're told. And, oh, by the way, all those little girls you're going out with on Facebook and they posting your pictures up on Facebook, that stops time now. And I said, yes, sir.
So would you consider
come to
that
find out,
relationship? Go ahead. Keep going.
Find out. Now, this is a true story. This is a true story. My wife will tell you. Come to find out, I'm going to Jamaica in October 2013 for a wedding. A guy that lived with me and my dad, when we stayed in Forest Park, Georgia, and to live with us because he beat his dad up because he didn't like his dad, whatever. Come to find out, that guy, she was going to the same wedding, and they went to medical school together. And I'm like, K-Dog, do you know Letitia wrote? He's like, Fly, you know Letitia? So, yeah. He said, she's coming to the wedding. I said, man, we've been talking for, you know, on Facebook and on telephone, man, since, you know, June. He said, man, that's crazy. Okay, I get to Jamaica. I am late because instead of getting on the plane heading to Jamaica, I get a call from my best friend said, hey, I need you to go back to Jonesboro and pick up these damn tuxedos because they forgot to pick up their tuxedos. So I had to go back on the south side, pick up 5 tuxedos. I get to Jamaica. I missed the all-white cruise. And when I got to the hotel, there was a note on the gentleman said, hey, Mr. Bilbrew, here's a note for you. It says, your villa is sitting. I've already looked over it for you. As I head to my villa, and I know everybody's on an all-white crew except me, and I'm pissed, I see this black, dark, woo, chocolate walking my way and waved at me. And she came over to me. She kissed me on my jaw. As we sat down, we talked. She said, I loved you before I met you. And she said, I loved you before I knew you and loved you before I met you. And I'm thinking to myself, true story, this bitch is crazy. I'm about to die. I'm the only one here. She ain't going to cruise. I'm the only one here. Everybody's gone. And where's my escape plan? That's what I'm thinking. Still, right? And I looked at her and I said, well, how? I said, how do you know? She said, because ever since Dr. McCrimmon's asked us to become friends on Facebook, I went and read everything you ever written on Facebook since 2009. And everything you said you was going to do, you either did it or you're doing it. And I said, that's the man for me, that's the man I pray for, and that's the man I prepare myself for. I looked at her and I said, will you be my girlfriend? That is what dating with a purpose is all about. That woman was preparing herself and knew me. And she used the same techniques and things that we do in the military and in my line of work to figure out who we're going to co-op, who we're going to knock off or keep on deck, who we're going to watch. She vetted who I was. You understand what I'm saying?
Two people with strong vetting processes.
Not only that, we were not setting false expectations. I remember one time she asked me, she said, do people think you're an asshole? I said, yep. She said, okay. She ain't called me back for a week. You know, yeah, an asshole is always that person that don't give a damn about your feelings when you ask them his truth. You understand what I'm saying? So I wasn't necessarily looking to get locked down with a young woman, but I was so impressed and I was so thankful that finally I met a woman who knew who I was and could understand and hear my voice.
Interesting. So Monty or Judith.
As a married man, that still play a role today.
Interesting. I can see that. I think you were cut off, Carell. So, Monty or Judith, was friendship important before your marriage? Is that you, Judith?
Hi, this is yes. Yeah, friendship was important.
Wait, one second, Carell. Hey, Carell.
Hey,
are
I got
you
cut off.
Back? Yeah.
Yes, sir. I got cut off for a minute.
I saw that. Judith was about to answer something. Go ahead, Judith.
Yes, friendship was very important, and we were good friends, and he's an artist, and so am I, and we worked on some projects together and got to know each other, and so friendship was very important in the beginning of our relationship, and so was partnership.
Interesting. Monty, how about you?
My situation sure was friends, but things went a little too fast. You know, I got married later in life where I took on my ex-wife, There was also two little children that were there, and I looked at the whole picture. Everything looked all so wonderful on through the venting process. But what I ended up finding out, the person I thought I married was not the person that I was hoping to spend the rest of my life with, and things unveiled. But, you know, I had years of dating, if you want to say, getting married for the first time of your life at 42 years of age, that I had plenty of experience of dating. So, and actually, here's an interesting thing to all. I became friends with her first husband, who was a great guy, and found out that we both went through the same thing together of our experiences. And when it comes time after a bad relationship to stop and think about yourself and fix yourself before you start dating and think about your kids that come first and so on, that didn't happen. She, and I'm blaming it on her, because we should all take responsibility, because I'm the one that got married to her, right? That she was someone that didn't fix her own life before she presented herself. So not having all the vehicles of your friends in the neighborhood, or I'm not so entwined at 56 years of age to be online dating. I mean, excuse me, online dating is easier, but not all the social medias. And there's very few limited people at my church or whatever that kind of makes it a comfortable, friendly, let's get to know each other like all have known. So online dating for me in Manhattan is quite available, and there's plenty of it. It's just that the misrepresentation by most parties, because I hear it from women and from men, you know, is tough. So, you know, I think if somebody invented a different type of app that could really vent each other and solidify who we all are, would be great for all parties. But there you go. That's my situation. It's not your normal one.
So I want to ask everyone, this is, and I got that everyone, there seems to be a consensus that one, vetting is important, but yeah, I also hear that part of the vetting process could be, we should be friends first, and we can go out, we're going out as friends. So go ahead, sure.
What were you going to say? I want to hear that first.
Okay, good. So what I'm thinking, it's sort of analogous to, if you know you want to a job, or you want to build a company, well, let's say you go on a job interview. You're going on that job interview because you want the job, and it's a mutual vetting. They're interviewing you and you're interviewing them. And if you know that's the job you want, and the things they're saying and your research on the job matches up, you're not going to go there and work sort of like on a trial. We're just going to be friends, and I'm going to work for free and see how things work out. You know, you could do that as an intern or something, a volunteer. But how does everyone feel about, you meet someone, you like them, and I really just want to have a relationship with you. But before we go down the path of intimacy, I really want to get to know you. Let's see if we both qualify for one another. I don't want to be your friend, but I want to find out if you're the person I want to spend time with, my life with. And that's where I'm coming from. I'm not here to play games, and I'm not here to be your friend. I'm looking for an intimate relationship, and I don't have sex with my friends. So how does everyone feel about that, or is that putting too much pressure on both people?
Well, I think that honestly, Me personally, I wouldn't want to have sex with anybody that I could not be friends with. And I think that if you look at a friend in a, like, if you know, like, because, you know, in this society, there's a, you know, this duplicitous way of saying a friend, where one minute it could be a friend, one minute it could be somebody intimate, you know, and it's, you know, but as far as me, you know, you're going to be sharing your body with somebody. And that's
right.
Even more, that's a next level thing. So if you're not even friends with that person, then you, it could go in the left hand way, which you could just dwindle down to like some type of form of prostitution and some stuff like that. Like that's, I need to at least be like friends. I need to know what motivates you, who you are, your hygiene and your cleanliness and, you know, your ambitions in life. I mean, you can be, somebody can toxify your life spiritually, mentally, physically, or economically. So if any one of those things is the case, I'm not trying to intertwine my energies with you. So
okay.
That's important.
Well,
and,
so wait, but here's what I said. I'm interested in an intimate relationship, but it doesn't mean we're going to have sex now because I want to get to know you. And however long
right.
that it takes to get to know you, but I'm not getting to know you to be your friend. Just telling you
okay.
that up front.
I could
so
dig
I,
that.
I
could dig that.
I want to take my time. We're going to go out, but my intent is I'm looking for someone to partner in life with. I'm telling you where I'm coming from. And if you're looking just for a good time, I'm probably the wrong guy.
Because mm-hmm. that's what I was going to say. You know, the one guy I talked about earlier about the it depends on your intention, and that's exactly correct. And then the other thing is, you know, if you are looking for, you know, intimacy on that level where you're sharing your life with somebody, I mean that's, you know, I think that it would be important to list certain, you know, connections. I would at least say on that level. But
all right, let's ask.
Go ahead. What were you
going to
say?
All right,
okay,
Tina
yeah.
Marie and Judith. I mean, if I know a lot of ladies say I appreciate when a guy is straightforward. What if he is that straightforward? I like you. I'm sexually attracted. I'm not interested in. I don't think sex right now is the best thing for us to do. But that is where I want to take things with you. I want a real relationship, an intimate relationship. And I don't want to be friends first. I'd like to get to know you with the intent to have intimacy, to have share my life with you. Would that turn you off, Tina Marie or Judith?
Yes, that would definitely turn me off because
be very strong.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Yes. Yeah, because I think I didn't hear what you said.
I said I can hear you. You said you'd be turned off.
Because
okay,
I think
going.
any kind of relationship, any intimate relationship is based on trust and
right.
friendship. So
okay.
being someone's friend is important in any relationship. Especially
if you said trust, and this is a guy
trust.
Telling you right up front where he's coming from, that he's
yeah,
being
well,
completely
that,
honest.
Well, that, yeah, well, that's great, being honest. But for me, friendship is very important.
Okay. All right. Tina Marie?
I would appreciate that honesty and upfrontness. It would have to still, that would be the end goal. I know where that individual is coming from. I know where he's coming from. There's no game playing. There's no, that's the verbiage that has to change. He's coming straight forward and direct. This is what I would like. This is where I see things. But you have to build that over time. And in building that, you, of course, you're going to become friends and develop that trust. But that's his end goal. And that woman that he's saying that to, she must, you know, have either the same end goal in mind and be on the same
right.
page.
Okay.
I would appreciate that. For me as a woman, I would appreciate that.
You wouldn't be turned off then.
No,
I wouldn't be turned off at all. Ted, I think it's good, but I think it sounded a little strong that she would think that you're a little over the top and a little too much too fast. that you got to leave a little mystery there so that we're both working for each other, but the clear intent would be fine. But, you know, I wouldn't go into the whole bit about, you know, about wanting to sleep with each other. I think that'll just come anyway through time. But I don't know. I just found it a little too strong.
Aggressive.
And I'm the guy.
And you're the guy.
I'm going to tell you like this. Thing is that we're talking about dating somebody. And
exactly.
So, you know, dating has some end results regardless. Like, you could wind up marrying somebody. You can probably have some children with somebody. Things that are much more involved can come out of a dating situation. So, to me, I have to be careful with who I share that kind of thing with. Like, you know, otherwise, you know, people can walk around trying to pay for something. You know, somebody will be your friend for a couple of dollars. You know what I'm saying? But if you're dating somebody and you are sharing your life with them, you are sharing your time, which is something you'll never get back. You know what I'm saying? What does that mean to you, and how valuable is that? And is that a sacred thing for you? You know what I'm saying? And that's what, to me, if I'm dating somebody, that's sacred. I mean, and I'm not talking about in the religious kind of sense. I mean, like, that's something that you if I'm giving somebody my time, I'm interested in sharing my intimacy, you know, being intimate with that person, you know, on a mental, physical, and spiritual level. You know, I'm looking for that to enhance my life, not to take away from it.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So to me, I'm not going to do that with just anybody. You know, and that's the important thing. And the other part I was saying earlier about how the language that we use when we refer to dating, like I heard the brother use the term interrogating. You know, that language in itself is like, you know, is this a human being that you are, you know, inviting to be a part of your life, not as like a
right.
business partner or some type of consultant or something like that, but this is a spiritual person you're sharing your intimate levels, your experiences with, your deepest part. You know what I'm saying? And I do believe that I get the concept of interrogating, which means you want to make sure you filter and find out all the things you need to do in order to see if this person qualifies for your time. But at the same time, this person is a heart and soul human being. And nobody who is going to give you their intimate parts should be interrogated like you would do a prisoner or somebody, you know, a criminal or somebody on that level. You know what I'm saying? I think that they should be, you know, and I'm going to use an old-fashioned term now, but it does have a lot of different meanings. They should be courted. And in the courting process, the word court means you bring the evidence. You know, you're not moving without seeing and confirming and actually finding out, presenting the evidence and seeing what it's hitting for. And there's a way to do that with a woman and a man, with a woman, with a man, where it just kind of flows. You know, you meet the family, you meet the brothers. You know, and I'm not talking about that's your aim. You just do that in the flow of things. You get to get in that person's personal space and time. And there's a way that you can establish a friendship at the same time.
Well, let me answer that. So, first of all, let me be honest with you. I got friends, okay? I've always had friends.
Mm-hmm.
I got female friends that wanted to have sex. I have female friends that want to go out and have a good time. Female friends want to talk, grow business together. Listen, I don't need a friend before I get a lover. And I wasn't looking for that, never have. I need what I need. And I've always been a man who satisfied my needs before my wants. All right? So I'm just going to be straight with you. Now, if a woman could not handle that I was ready for a meaningful relationship, let's do this, then that woman wasn't for me. Doesn't make her a bad woman.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily make her a good woman. Again, the operative thing for me is my time. I ain't got time.
No doubt.
And I didn't have time, you know. So as far as, you know, I don't mix words, and I don't play on words. But I am an intelligence expert. So there are several ways that you're going to be interrogated. Where there's you remember minutes of society sitting down. You say, you'd have messed up, right? Or or is this? I'm gonna go and watch the rest of this game when this conversation's over, and I'm gonna sit at the bar, and I'm gonna continue to practice my interrogation skill. I would know more about that person than they were willing to tell me, and they're gonna relatively know very little about me. So there's ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about purposeful living. For me,
mm-hmm.
If I want to just have sex, I got friends for that. But when I said I want to have a woman, I first had to qualify for a woman. Once I felt that I was qualified for the woman that I know was top-notch, I went for it.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I didn't readily availably know that that was for me, I had people in my presence, in my company, that I loved and respected and said, hey, that's the one. And I was like, well, shit, let me stick my key in that doorknob and let's see if it'll open. So a lot of times, man, we just do a lot of word mixing. We have a lot of emotions, and we missing the whole boat. We're missing the whole boat. Court with a purpose. Okay. Stake with a purpose. Let that
no
be
doubt.
Known. And if that person don't want to do it, then why would you waste your time with them, especially when you're above the age of 25?
I guess you dropped off, Tina, huh? So, so it seems like not everyone seems to think being a friend first is the best thing. But getting to know the person is absolutely imperative.
I want to make a statement that I honestly don't think you can get to know somebody like truly without being their friend. Like, there's people who gather data, like Facebook and Instagram, and they know your shopping patterns, and they can know everything about your numbers.
Right.
But they don't know your heart, your ambitions, and what your real, what really motivates you and inspire you.
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. That's it.
That's
perfectly
it.
Said. Perfectly said.
Perfectly said. That's right, Tina.
You go, Judith. That's perfectly said.
Perfect.
You have to be the perfectly said.
Couldn't have said
you
it better myself.
You have to be friends first. Exactly.
I concur.
You have to be the person's friend first before whether, especially you can't. But someone had made this statement, and I apologize because I cannot remember who. You do not have sex with your friends. That's established.
I see. Yeah, I see.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
That's in the beginning.
That's right.
If that's all you want, then that's a physical relationship. That's all it's ever going to be.
Right.
That's not saying you can't have respect for the person, but you don't go around having sex with your friends. But that's a choice. That's a personal choice. That's not my choice, but that's a personal choice for someone else. But you have to, as the foundation, you have to be friends with the person. Just like he just said, you can know everything you want to know, where the person shops, the favorite color, book, whatever, where they go to, service, however you want to. But you're truly not going to know the heart of the person unless you sit down and have a conversation with them. And until you do that, that's part of becoming a friend, to lay the foundation of it being something more, if not it being friends, however it shall be.
So let me ask a question. Go ahead, Enrique. Add to that.
I would add to that that you have to care about
what
that person's motivation is. Because if you don't care, if you have intimacy with somebody that's not your friend, you can pay for that.
Exactly.
You can pay for
that. Then it means nothing. It's nothing.
Exactly.
It's an act. What is real intimacy, though? When you break apart the word, what is real intimacy? I'm seeing into you, and you're seeing into me.
And you
so
care about
I have
that.
A question.
Exactly.
I have a question for everyone then. So if being friends work is the best way to do it, why is it there so many failed relationships that are the result of people being friends first?
That's
because people don't like
earlier.
To be vulnerable.
True.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean
then
to
you
cut
were
you
not.
Off.
Yeah,
and then some people
true,
are operating off
is,
that old template. You know, we have that old template of how it's supposed to be done. You know what I'm saying? Which is constantly being broken in these modern times. And because we're not adapting to paradigm, which, you know, you can't, you know, cookie cut anybody anymore. I mean, that worked in the 50s and 60s and 70s and some of the 80s. But since things are changing, you have to be open to that it don't necessarily fit. That you can't always fit a square in a circle. Sometimes you can, but most times you can't. You know, you have to fit a circle in a circle. You have to let whatever the organic situation is, because each person is just as unique as their fingerprint. You know what I'm saying? You have to let that organic aspect reveal itself, and if it works with you, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Except it's not working, though.
It's
most
because, like I was saying, most people have that old template. They have that old template. They're not going as friends. Look at what we said about dating. Most people were saying about dating, oh, you have to do it like this. You know, I'm going to take her out. I got to pay for this. Or you know, if I take her out and I'm doing this, then we dating. I want to show her like this. And she's the way, and I got to be honest about this. Like, and everybody's entitled to their own approach because that's their life. But me as a man, it's like they're referring to the woman as some type of thing. That
thank you.
Is not organic and is not just as, you know, spontaneous, creative, and unique as they are. You know what I'm saying? And a woman could easily be, you know, an abstract construct. You know, like you don't, it's brand spanking new. It don't have to go that way. You have to see it that situation for what exactly it is. And it may not be like that. It may not be like, you know, it flows like that.
Right. Do you think there are women who date a man just for his paycheck?
I believe so, because some of them believe in the old construct.
Okay. All right.
They believe that they're supposed to do that.
Okay. I think, Judith, you were going to say something when I asked why is it being friends first not working?
Oh, because we're human beings. We're human beings, and we're living it. We're just human beings, and people make mistakes. They make mistakes. Men change, women change in a marriage, and sometimes mental illness plays a big part in why some people get divorced. You know, sometimes I know in my divorce, my ex. Developed bipolar manic depression. I had no idea what that was, and I learned about it in our marriage. So there's a lot of reason why people get divorced.
Yeah,
no, I wasn't asking
that
why people.
Hi, and this is.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I honestly believe that it's the lack of development of a genuine friendship that is a demonstration of the failures of relationships and marriages.
Interesting.
You know, that's what that is to me.
Okay. All right. Any last words from each of you before we sign out here?
Yes, this is Judith.
Sure.
I think this is a really great talk show, and it's a really great platform for men and women to come together and talk about relationships. I really enjoyed sharing, and thank you for this talk show, Ed.
Well,
hey,
you.
Judith,
thank
I'd like
absolutely.
To chime in and say thank you for saying what you said, something that hit home with me for me being a divorced guy. I actually married a psychotherapist who had every answer in the book and who ended up being bipolar. And you don't know about it till you're in the situation with a child handcuffed to a bad situation with two other kids. And I made my commitment to be a good man to last and love and cherish forever. And that's the hardest thing that you could deal with in the world. So I commend you. And the greatest thing, though, is we're all free, and hopefully we find people that complement our lives versus complicate. So God bless to all, and thank you for having me in on this. So this is Monty signing off. Thank you.
Thanks for participating, Monty. Yep. Thanks a lot, Monty. Anyone else? Last words.
This is Tina Marie. I just, again, thank you for this talk show where you can gather men and women to talk openly and freely and, you know, to really learn about each other in a calm, peaceful setting.
Absolutely. I concur with that.
So people don't miss drama? Is that what you're telling me?
Don't miss drama at all. Leave drama for the television and the movies.
All right.
Social media, because you're going to get enough of that on there.
Certainly.
Absolutely. So I appreciate everyone who called in this evening. I appreciate all the people who are listening. Thank you very much. And it sounds like, for the most part, men should still pay for dates. They need to create a better vetting process, whether it's being friends first or, as Carell said, whether you use your network or social media to find out if the person is consistent with what they say and how they present themselves to the world. But it's the really understanding the person. I've heard, you know, understanding what's in their heart, what ambitions, what do they really want out of life. And Carell said something important, which is he really had to know himself. And that, I think that's a really good way to put it. It's difficult to want to really get to know someone if you have no clue who you are, because part of understanding what you want is going to be closely tied to who you are. You know, there are some people who claim they want, now I saw some, I think it was like a dating show, and this woman said, I want a guy who's well-traveled and well-read and intelligent and speaks other languages. And so they set her up with a woman like that, and she sat down with him, and she had really nothing to say. The guy was asking, where have you traveled to? And he was talking about the places he'd been and the books he read. And I think sort of what Carell was saying, that you don't take someone to a place that's maybe over their head or be uncomfortable. And this woman, they interviewed her after the date, and she said, I don't think I want that kind of guy. I didn't feel like I had anything I could contribute to him. And I think that comes down to her knowing herself. So if people could spend more time developing themselves and understanding what they want, I think it may be easier to understand what questions to ask people. So I thank everyone. Have a great rest of the evening. We'll look forward to next week, and our topic is probably going to blow your socks off. It may be somewhat of a spinoff from this one. So thank you for joining us, everyone. Look forward to next week, and we are at the end of Straight Talk tonight. Thank you very much. Good night. Bye.